Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grace Ranch. We're pleased that you could be here with us. Let us begin this memorial to our beloved brother, Richard, with a song. Praise you, Lord Jesus. You know, as Cheryl sings that song, which I know her father loved so much, I think back to a story Davey used to tell me when I first came to the Lord, which was about when he first came to the Lord. You know, he was on his way to punch out a preacher because he was tired of listening to two people who he worked for constantly asking him whether he knew Jesus. And so Richard, as he was wont, he went out to teach that preacher a lesson. But on the way, he met the Lord Jesus Christ in his pickup truck, Larry, on the way. And I know he's told me the story and how he bawled as the Lord spoke to him and showed him his life and called him to be a minister. And the beauty about today for us is we each mourn the passing of a beloved brother, a friend, a father, a husband. But he, I can tell you what, I'm sure his testimony of coming to know the Lord is nothing compared to his testimony now. His mortal remains may be out here, and we may be committing them to the ground, but his soul and spirit are free. And so we celebrate that with our brother Davey. Amen.
Y'all ready?
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful the situation, the joy of the Lord earth. Is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great King.
Great is the
Praise you, Lord.
You know, it's impossible to sing that song for those of us who knew Davey without seeing him in a revival tent. I mean, his favorite place in the world, there was a thing that he loved doing more than anything, was being out in a tent and talking about Jesus and teaching us all about him. You know, I was thinking today, the Apostle Paul, back in his letter to the second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, he said the following: "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart." And anybody who was ever in a revival with Davey, and anybody who's been a part of this fellowship for any period of time, knows that that's exactly what we are. We are his epistle. I was talking to Phil yesterday. Phil was kind of struggling. Hi, Phil, down in South Carolina. And I said, one of the things you're going to find, Phil, so I just want to prepare you for this, because you're going to be praying about a thing, and you're going to hear this voice, and it's going to sound just like Davey. It's going to sound just like Davey. I don't mean in his gruffness or anything like that, but the words. It'll be like, if it was to me, it'd be like, "Relax, Steve, relax." Or maybe, "Trust the Lord, Steve." It might be any of a number of different things. But the beauty of that is, and what Paul's talking about there, is see, Davey knew the Lord. He knew him. He was a friend of the Lord's. And because he was a friend of the Lord's, the Lord let him in on things that very few people ever come to know. And it's why each and every one here, and I don't care who you are. I mean, Larry, I know you would say this. I know you'd say it too, Mike. I say, everybody out there, I've met many of the family members, and like everybody would say this, is Davey was unlike any other person you ever met in your life. And the impact he had when he said something to you, sometimes you weren't all that happy about it. Sometimes you were. But the impact of what he said was greater than that of anybody you ever met in your life. For those of us who were blessed to have received that which he shared with us, all I can say is, wow. I mean, the Lord changed my life. If you had known my life. Nobody who knew me before could ever believe what God has made of me. And it's because one man had the courage to stand when nobody else would. And really, if there's a testimony of his life, he stood. He stood. He stood. He stood. He stood until we could stand with him. And I want you to know that that goes on. That goes on. That goes on. That did not stop with his death. It did not stop. You know, it's a sad thing often, and I know we have funeral home director here. He sees these things just kind of like I as a lawyer see stuff. You see people come together when somebody dies. You kind of want to kick yourself afterwards and go, what in the hell was the matter with me before? What was the matter with me before? Because it shouldn't be that way. Shouldn't be that way. And Davey, as a minister, he used to say to us all the time, especially back when we were in Vermont, what did he say? Children, play nice. Didn't he? Didn't he say, children, play nice? And what did we do? We fought like regular children and brothers and sisters do. That, do you know what that one did? You know what the other one did? And you know what? He was there again, said, play nice. And the fact of the matter is, I want everybody to know, I know many people, because his death at the end came rather quickly And so people, many who would have loved to have seen him and spoken to him before he passed, I want everybody to know Davey never had held anything against anyone. Never. Never, ever, ever. He was without compromise, that is true. And people may have misinterpreted that to mean that he was holding something against you or someone or another, but that was never, ever, ever the case. He just refused to move off of Jesus. And he waited. And I want you to know his hand is still extended to this day for each and every one. He wants nothing more than to see you again and to see you again in joy. Amen. Davey was a musician. He loved music. So we're going to let the music do the talking today.
Shall mount up with wings.
Praise you, Lord. Brother Rick.
All right, I am under strict orders to do not be preachy. That's sort of like telling a lawyer, don't be wordy. You know, I'll try and keep this short. My relationship with Dad was a rocky one, frankly. Not his fault, also. I remember when I moved up to Vermont, frankly, to escape Florida. The Lord, when he wants you to go somewhere, and he really wants you to go, he's going to do it one way. You're going to go one way or the other. You see how this works, you know? You can go willingly, or he can allow things to get so unbelievably miserable where you are that any place seems better. And I left Florida, and I went to Vermont. And you see, I had this vision of what it was to be with my dad. You know, I had this concept of what it was going to be like. Boy, was I wrong. You see, Dad was, if anything, as Steve was talking, he was consistent. And although I may be his son, what he cared about more so than anything was my relationship with Jesus. And if there was something that was going to harm that or somehow cause there to be a problem with that, he would much rather me be angry at him for now so that I could be in eternity with him tomorrow. And he would not compromise. He didn't care about my feelings. He didn't care if it hurt my feelings. He didn't really care. And what I didn't realize at the time, and I know a lot of people probably had that, you know, maybe he rubbed you the wrong way. Well, as he would say, turn around. He only rubs one direction. But when you get perspective and you understand what real love is, see, the world today, their love is about how you feel. How do you feel? Do you feel okay? Do you feel good? Well, feeling's all flesh-based, isn't it? And what he was concerned about wasn't concerned about how I felt, but about my walk with the Lord. And if that meant me feeling bad now, well, praise God, he'd take it. He had incredibly huge shoulders. The other thing about Dad that really was, I think, really hard for me personally to swallow and a lot of other people as well was, boy, he didn't fit the profile. I mean, my God, he just didn't fit the profile. Not at all. I mean, he just didn't fit. I mean, he was not the right picture of what a minister is supposed to be. He was the opposite. I mean, if there's an image and there's an opposite, he was this one. And he was the perfect example of what it was to be the difference between above the cloud or under the cloud. See, if you're under the cloud, what you saw in Dad was really not a nice guy. But if you understood grace and you understood truth and you understood mercy and you understood the things of God and you understood faith and you could see through the cloud, then you'd see what? A righteous and holy nation. That's what they were talking of Israel. If you looked at them under the cloud, what were they? Stiff-necked and stubborn and rebellious, but above the cloud, through grace, you saw tents of righteousness and holiness. And what you had with Dad is you had a guy, man, he was about as flawed as you could get. He was. But guess what? With Jesus, none of that mattered. None of that mattered. None of that had any account because with the grace of God and the mercy of God and the blood of Jesus, it's all washed away. It's all gone. And God took this completely wrong vessel. Just wrong. Just wrong in every capacity. Wrong, wrong, wrong. And touched the lives of thousands of people. And if anything, that gives me tremendous hope You see, people will look at how Dad died, and they're going to draw all these conclusions. There's one truth that I want to share with you. You see, the wages of sin are death. Do you hear me? The wages of sin are death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. The other part of that is that it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a single righteous person that takes a breath today. Not a single good person that takes a breath today. Every one of us is a sinner, and every one of us needs Jesus. Every single one of us. And every single one of us is going to come to that place where we're going to stand before Jesus, and he's going to ask you that question. Did you believe? Did you believe? And the testimony of Dad is he believed. He believed and he believed and he believed. If there was breath in him to speak, he was still speaking the gospel. If there was nothing left in him that he had, and there was only a couple words that he could provide, it was still the gospel of Jesus Christ for whoever was in front of him to yet get closer to God. I don't care if he had to croak it out in the last couple days. If there was something you needed to hear, and maybe you still didn't want to hear it, he was still going to tell you. You know why? Because he loved you. He loved you with everything he had. And the same love of Jesus Christ that loved us when we were unlovable, that went to the cross, is the same love that was in my dad towards you and towards me. I wrote something and I said that I'm a man of two minds right now, because I am saddened that my father's no longer here with me. But I can't be sad. I just can't be, because I know he's there. I have no doubt. I know exactly where he's at. Zero doubt. And he's with friends. He's with Paul. He's with Warren. He's with all of those that he touched. I can only imagine the reception with Keith. I can only imagine the reception that was when Dad got to heaven. And when I think of that, how can I be sad? I can't do it. Oh, I have waves where I cry. It hits me at the oddest times, like having Chinese food of all places. Cheryl's saying, let's go eat Chinese. I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, Dad, we love this. But really, in the big picture, come on, man. And what Steve was saying about us being his epistle, we're his legacy. And moreover, we're the Lord's legacy, because Dad was the Lord's. Amen? Amen? There's one thing that I just hold on to and I know is true. Man, if you know Jesus and you have his word and you have his Holy Spirit, man, who here looks at Dad and says, he's a great man of God? Right? Well, guess what? There's nothing stopping you from being that and more so. Nothing stopping you from being that and more so. Because what set him apart above everything else was his 100%, 110% if you can get it, commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was nothing else that mattered. Nothing else. One last thing I'll say. You know, when I did get up to Vermont, I did personally, you know, I expected special treatment. I mean, heck, I was his kid, right? Dadgummit. I didn't get it. In fact, I thought what I got was the opposite of special, frankly. There's one thing I did come to know, though, is that he was Dad to a lot more people than me. Made it. I have three sisters that I love dearly. But that's not the end of my family. Everyone here that believes in the Lord through his ministry is my family. It's my brother. It's my mom. It's my sister. Everyone. And how he was able to maintain that even perspective and consistency and not to be a respecter of persons, not even to his own son. Praise God. Praise God. And that's what I hope to be. I hope to get there. And I know there's nothing that prevents me from doing it. Because the same Jesus that was in him, the same Holy Ghost that was in him, is in me. That's all I have for now.
Praise the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I love that version of Amazing Grace. It always reminds me of your dad, because your dad was a redeemer. He believed in redemption. Should have seen us years ago. Ann will remember this probably. Back in Vermont, we'd sit down, and Davey had this chair. We had television set up there, and we had a lot of people in there sometimes. So I would sit on the floor next to him, and if you knew, Davey had stinky feet. But I could sit in one particular place, and it would, like, just miss my face that I was able to be there. But a lot of times we'd be watching a movie together at night. It'd be 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and it would sometimes just be he and I. And be some story of redemption. And while we'd be watching, we'd both be like this at the end. We'd both have our hand cupped over our face, and I'd say, he'd say, "That was a good movie." And we couldn't look at one another. But the beauty of Davey, for those of us who knew him well, is he was a marshmallow. He was a man who stood firm for the truth to the end. But inside, he was a marshmallow. And I'm so pleased that my children, my wife, and you guys here had the opportunity, like I did, to know him. And I know he would say, "Cheryl, I knew you could. I knew you could." And he believed in us when we didn't believe in ourselves. And that's a wonderful gift to have and a wonderful gift to receive. And I know as we go forth from here, let us carry that gift. Let us carry that gift. We sang at the table. He wants us to enjoy being at that table with him. And one thing I share for those who are older than me, who may have had the privilege of knowing Davey when he was just a little boy, maybe a little naughty boy sometimes. I don't know, Barbara, I don't know. I think you may have known him as a little naughty brother sometimes because he was younger than you and probably Peggy and Darlene and some others out there as well, I'm sure. He always used to say one thing about the table. He always used to say this about the gifts of the Lord. He said, "If you're not going to take them, I will." That song says we feast. I know nothing would give him greater joy than for everyone who is hearing these words today that you would join him and feast at the table of the Lord. Come just as you are. Jesus loved us before we loved him. And he still loves us, even if you haven't yet chosen to love him. But if you haven't, do so before it's too late. Because he died for you, just like he did for me. Amen. We're going to, for those who are here, we're going to have a brief committal service over here. Then we've got some food, and I hope you'll stick around and stay with us and enjoy. We've got some ham. We got some things Davey loved, potato salad and coleslaw and some ham. And I'm sure we've got some desserts. My wife was baking up a storm this morning. So those of you who are afar and listening in online, well, you missed out. You just missed out. But for those who happen to be here, we are blessed to join with you. And for those who are far, I just say this. Davey's soul and his spirit are free. We will be committing his mortal remains here today, but his soul and spirit have never been bound. May the Lord bless you. It's been our pleasure to be here with you. And I hope you're happy, Dave. With us, that is. I know you're happy where you are. God bless you.